Hey there, everybody. It's Tina Conrad, aka DJ Breast Cancer, and I'm here with a very special guest. Her name is Kim. She is a Midwest girl like me, and she is working on a book project that she's going to speak about, Life Reconstructed. And so I'm really excited to share this upcoming journey with you and all the listeners. And it looks to be released for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this year. So really excited to talk about that. And she was also diagnosed with breast cancer 1 month to the day after turning 40. She also had quite a struggle with her implants that we can also speak to again. So, and faith has really been just important in her journey and in her life. So she's here to talk to us on this Faith Over Fears series, and I'm excited to have her with me. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I always feel that guests can describe themselves in their own words. So a little bit about, you know, who Kim is. It can be, you know, a little bit about cancer, but just kind of who you are as a whole person.
Okay. Yeah, I am, like you said, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Iowa. I've lived in Iowa my whole life. I'm married to Corey. We've been married for 21 years. We have three boys. Carter is a freshman in college. Owen's a senior in high school. And then Lewis, our youngest, is in seventh grade. And I love being a boy mom. I love hanging out with my boys, going hiking, backpacking, doing crazy stuff with them. I'm a writer. I graduated from Iowa State with a degree in English. And I minored in journalism. So before I had kids, I stayed home, or I worked as a newspaper reporter. And then when my boys are born, I stayed home until our youngest was out of diapers. And then I started freelancing. And then just, I always thought maybe someday I would write a book. Never imagined it would be about boobs. and it's been a crazy journey, but it's been really good. So.
Well, good. Well, that is amazing. And yes, I don't think any of us really plan to like speak or talk about cancer and boobs. I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. But yes, it honestly does kind of give us some, you know, subject to kind of connect with, and definitely something that we can all, especially those that have been in the cancer journey, that we can all relate to. So I do thank you for your honesty and your vulnerability and sharing your story out there. I do think that that's such a wonderful thing that, you know, women can do to help each other along the journey.
Thanks.
So I would love to get into a little bit about just like your cancer story. So maybe how you found out, or, you know, a little bit about maybe what type of cancer, just a little bit about, you know, your specific cancer diagnosis.
Okay. Yeah, I actually discovered a lump in my breast, my left breast, the beginning of January of 2016. I didn't really think a whole lot of it, but I thought, you know, probably should get it checked out. So I went to my my family doctor, and she said, you know, I really think it's probably a cyst, but let's get it checked out just in case. And it ended up being cancer, invasive ductal carcinoma. I was stage one, so I didn't have to do chemo. I did a bilateral mastectomy with reconstruction, and then I'm on tamoxifen it will be 5 years this summer, and my oncologist wants me to stay on that for 10 years. That's a drug that I think often, or used to be, most people would be done after 5 years, but he is going to keep me on that for a while, which is fine. But yeah, so I was diagnosed a month after I turned 40. And yeah, it was, you know, not what you're expecting. Very, very difficult thing to hear. But, you know, God is good in everything. And I trust him with my life, and even in the hard things. And you know, he was always with me that whole time, so near. So yeah.
Well, that's great. And I was on tamoxifen for quite some time. We had a breakup, but that's only because my oncologist recommended letrozole, which I'm currently on. So, but yeah, I think I was on tamoxifen longer than 5 years. And then they wanted, you know, this other one. So yeah, they each have their own little, you know, pros and cons, but, you know, I feel overall, I, you know, adjusted to both of them fairly well, but, you know, neither of them are easy, you know, and they all have their kind of fun side effects, fun side effects. And yeah, what was 5 is like 10. And then I'm feeling like sometimes it's lifetime. Like, I don't know, like where they're going to draw the line, but hey, we're in this like, you know, fun estrogen blocking battle, and it is what it is. So, all right. Well, a little bit about your faith that you did speak on. Would love to know just like, how your faith journey maybe intersected with your cancer journey, or, you know, did you feel like it really didn't change? Like, was your faith always such a baseline? And then, you know, this just kind of helped you through it, but would love to know kind of like where your stance on faith was and is.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be raised in a believing home. So, became a Christian at a young age. So Corey and I had been married 17 years when I was diagnosed, and I had this thought when I was diagnosed that we've had it pretty easy. It's probably time for something hard. Like, I just thought, okay, it's my turn. Like, we're not promised an easy life. And, so many people have things so much harder than even I do. I've gone through the weird guilt of, okay, I didn't have to have chemo, so I didn't really have, you know, like it's not survivor guilt, but it's that feeling of, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but I feel like I was, not ready for it, but God was immediately there with me. And I never doubted my faith. I never asked why. I did ask how do I do this? How are we going to get through this? I don't want to do this. I want you to take this away from me. I remember when I was the day I was diagnosed, actually, my doctor called me, and it was at the very end of the day. And she said that the results had just come across her desk, and she's like, if you didn't answer the phone, I was going to drive over to your house. But I remember her telling me I had cancer, and I got off the phone, and Corey's standing there with me, and he's just like, I wish I could take this from you. I wish that this could be, you know, I could do this for you. And I just remember falling apart, but feeling so comforted by Corey, and then also just feeling that presence of God. But something really funny, so not funny, it was that day that I was diagnosed. So I got to call at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and my husband was an elder in our church at that time and a youth leader. And we had to ask our youth pastor to step down. And my husband at 7 o'clock that night was in charge of that conversation with the youth group. So I got diagnosed at 5 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, I'm sitting in front of 60 teenagers, and we're explaining this really hard situation to them. And I'm just thinking, I want to jump out of my skin. I don't want to be here. This is, you know, this is the hardest thing. But even in that, God was just so gracious to give me what I needed to get through that meeting and to get through that night. And, you know, many nights afterwards of not sleeping and being fearful and those sort of things that, this verse, which Isaiah 41:10 would just repeat over and over in my head, which it's, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And, that verse, I memorized it when I was in high school. I was in track and I loved running, but I was terrified before every event. So I would repeat that in my head over and over, and you know, never thinking that, okay, when I'm in 40, I'm going to be repeating that in my head over and over every night. but that verse really got me through. And God, you talk about faith, God used that verse over and over from people who didn't know that that was my verse. My best friend's mom sent me a card with that verse in it. The day of my biopsy, one of my very good friends sent me a text, and it was just that verse. And I received it as they called my name to go in for my biopsy. So it was like, how do you doubt? How do you doubt that God is just like with you in that? So yeah, I would never want to go through that again. But I tell you, sometimes I miss that closeness. Like you just, I just felt Jesus' presence. Like he was there. And I treasure that feeling. Not that I would want to go back and do it again,
yeah.
But you probably know that feeling of just, oh, you are here with me. Like I'm not doing this by myself.
Yeah. And I feel like I get signs and, the more I'm involved with the community, the more people I meet, and I often meet people who are metastatic, and, it's been kind of a roller coaster, So for every amazing woman, there is also like sad news that kind of comes with it too. And that happens when you put yourself out there. And, there are times where I wonder, like, is this right to do this? Should I, cause you put yourself out and your heart can get hurt. But there's been every time I've had a friend pass away from breast cancer, there has been undeniable signs that God has been with me. And so to your point, maybe this feeling of closeness is almost more of a foreshadowing of, what our future, life will be like. And, mm-hmm. You don't need that every moment, but you need it when you need it. And I do think that he sends us, signs of his love and, his everlasting peace. And I do. And I think that's, kind of one of my questions is they say that to know God, you have to experience him. And I can point to, multiple times. I'm sure you can as well, but would love to know. It doesn't have to just be, cancer, but has there been a moment where you truly did? I know throughout your cancer journey, you felt God's presence, but maybe if you can elaborate on that, or if there's a specific example that you would like to share with the listeners.
Sure. One specific thing I can think is the day of my surgery, my bilateral mastectomy, and then first phase of reconstruction. So I had implant reconstruction. So I had the months of the expanders and all of that fun stuff. But I didn't know how I was going to handle that going in that day, knowing, I'm having my breasts removed. But I sat in that waiting room with Corey before surgery and just all the prep and all the hours before you go in. And I have never been so at peace. I thought I was going to be sitting there fearful. And I was like, I even remember telling Corey, I feel like I'm waiting to go get my haircut. Like I felt so like, okay, this is what's happening today. I'm at peace. God knows, and he's got me. And so whatever is ahead, I was just, overwhelmingly at peace that day. And I think that's totally God. 'Cause I don't like needles. I don't like blood. I don't like hospital stuff. Not that anybody really does, but like, I could never be a nurse. I just couldn't do that stuff. So the fact that I was sitting there and just feeling totally okay. That was God there with us. I think that was one of, really the big things for me of him being there. A harder thing that I experienced through it, another thing of God working in my life and actually in Corey's life as well, is that, when I started, you have to make a lot of decisions pretty quickly of what, so many decisions to make.
A lot. Yeah.
And, Corey and I in our marriage have always, we do things together. We talk, we're internal processors, but we never do anything without talking to the other one first. And I didn't realize I was doing this, but I was making decisions and just moving on and going and going and going. And he ended up, it frustrated him. And so we would have these times where we would butt heads, and we don't do that often. Like I remember some arguments we had and I'm like, what in the world is going on? But I realized it was because I was not including him, and I was kind of leaving him left out. And I don't think all marriages work that way. And some men, that might not bother them at all, but, it really took some searching and some praying and just asking God, we don't want to be like this. Mm-hmm. Help us. And we really needed help to get over this weird hump. And God really was near to both of us and got us to a place of, oh, well, first of recognizing, oh, this is what, because he didn't really know why he was so frustrated. I didn't really understand. I'm like, what's going on? And we realized what was happening. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And just the fact that we were able to work through kind of a tough, touchy thing during cancer was, I think, just a picture of God. I mean, he put us together in sickness and in health. And sometimes in sickness, things get hard. Yeah. And him being near to us through that and working us through that and getting us to this point today where, you know, our relationship's as good as it's ever been. Cancer really grew us. And I'm thankful for that. So yeah, different ways God has really been with us, been with me.
I love that. And my husband too has been like such a rock, you know, for me. Just today I was looking through like some poems, you know, through that I'd written like through the cancer journey. And, you know, there's one that's about slow dancing with my husband in the kitchen. And it was just like the most horrible day with, you know, like work and cancer and life and everything. But like, here's this person that like, I could just, you know, put my head on and like, you know, we could just slow dance and everything can, it could be forgotten. And so, you know, it is such a personal decision. Like it is, you know, ultimately our bodies, but yet, you know, we're in this relationship and we all want to be included and we all want to, you know, communicate together. And it is hard. Like it is so much intense, you know, decisions that have to be made in a very short amount of time with limited, you know, information. You just kind of have to run. And so, you know, my heart goes out to you because I can relate to that. I was like the daughter of a two-time breast cancer survivor. So at least in my case, I kind of had like some roadmap of like what to do because I'd kind of been there, you know, for my mom through it. But I've often said, like, I don't understand how people who are new to this can like literally absorb all of this information. That first part is just, it's like a marathon all at once, you know, and you haven't had training for it and you're just like running. So my heart goes out to you. I can totally relate to that, you know, time of my diagnosis and journey too. So I'd love to know a little bit about the book. So what kind of made you, you know, I know you're a writer and now you have this like subject to talk about, but kind of talk to me, you know, about the book and like what you hope to accomplish with the book and who you hope to kind of reach and talk to.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's called Life Reconstructed, Navigating the World of Mastectomies and Breast Reconstruction. So, you know, it's about, I mean, breast cancer led to that, those things happening, but it focuses less on actual cancer and more on the dealing with that surgery and that change in your life and the emotions of it. The emotions of losing your breasts and how it affects you relationally, psychologically, physically. And it's not, my story's woven in there, but it's really not my story. I've interviewed, I don't know how many women, I probably at least a dozen women who've gone through this and had different kinds of surgeries, different kinds of experiences. Some stayed flat, some had, you know, the same kind of reconstruction I did, some had others. And so getting their story and how they came to their decisions. So there's a chapter on like really kind of little vignettes of different women and how they came to the decision that they came to or how it was made for them. And then I've also got a chapter on body image that affected me that I didn't think about beforehand. Cause you think, okay, just remove the cancer. I don't care about anything else. And then you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, oh, I do care about that. And so, just kind of dealing with, body image and dealing with the grief of losing your breasts. So chapter on that, there's a chapter from the husband's perspective, interviewed a bunch of men. And then there's a chapter on physical intimacy. Cause again, that was a hard one. And then also a chapter on dealing with this with children of different ages. Like, how do you walk through cancer with teenage boys? How do you talk about that? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you talk about your mom's breast cancer? And or how do you do that when your kids are little? I had one woman who's didn't even, her kids didn't know. They were young enough that they didn't, you know, they didn't even, weren't even really told what exactly was going on. So it's kind of a, it just walks through all a variety of different things that I found that I dealt with and I knew other women dealt with. So just getting information from other women all in this one book. And then I've also got input from a psychologist and a nurse. And this is another really cool God thing. So through this whole thing, I'm talking about medical things sometimes in there that I'm not a medical person, but I wanted to have that medical information in there. But I prayed that God would give me someone who would go through my book with me and really make sure I was on target with the things that I'm speaking about. And I cold called a breast surgeon's office. I wanted a female breast surgeon. She contacted me. We went for coffee. She's a believer. She went through chapter by chapter of my book with me, of just telling me, okay, yeah, this is right. Or, you know, you could explain this a little bit differently, or just giving me input here or there. And then she ended up writing my foreword. So, that was just super fantastic of God to do that. So that's maybe more than you wanted to know about.
No, I love that.
That's the picture kind of what it is, I guess.
So. I think it's beautiful. And I think that it feels like all of like the points of your life kind of come together in this book. Like you were a reporter and a writer. So, you know, you interviewed people and like all these skills that you've acquired throughout like your life kind of come to this like passion project of, you know, sharing and helping and, you know, being in like your desire to make it be, you know, factual and, you know, informative. And then this person comes across your path too. And I think it's just a really beautiful testimony to, again, to your faith and to, I really believe in the power of prayer. And I have worked on that even just through these COVID times to be kind of more specific in what I'm wanting. Not only just praying for, you know, people or for things, but kind of more specific things. You know, maybe it's patience for a project or, you know, but kind of more like, dear God, please fill my heart with the right words for this interview that I'm going to do. Things like that, that I feel when I do ask more specific things, I find that it's much more likely to happen. And then I give thanks and praise, you know, like afterwards, because it's this kind of huge relief, but it's such a benefit and such a helpful thing that I think you're such a testimony of all of that, like with this book and with your journey. So I really do thank you for sharing all of that.
Well, thanks for letting me share.
I love it. And I love that, you know, the breast surgeon ended up, you know, writing the foreword for you and like, what a kind of like an amazing godsend, you know, way for a person to cross your path, you know, and you prayed on it and you asked for this to happen. And then, you know, now you kind of have this friend and confidant and, you know, mentor that can kind of help you from this more scientific side, which is, I think, very beautiful. So you're looking to release this book in October, which hopefully the world will be maybe a little bit changed by then. And you can actually like, have like a more of a, like, I'm looking forward hopefully for this October to be more of a celebration than obviously last October, but what are you looking to do and where do you plan to like launch the book or how is this launch going to go?
I'm planning a launch event, but it's actually not planned at all yet, where I'm getting together with a couple people to actually talk about it next week to kind of get the stages and kind of start figuring things out. And I feel very, this is all so new to me. First book, I'm really asking a lot of questions of the marketing person and what should I be doing and at what time. And so I don't know exactly what October will look like, but it releases on the 12th and that will be the day that I will have an event that day. And then also plan probably some signings at different bookstores and stuff in the Midwest. But I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants.
That's how you learn. You learn by fire sometimes. Yes. That's okay. Well, that is amazing. I really do think just the whole physical part of a woman's body and, you know, all the chapters that you listed. I too have almost had podcasts that kind of walk through a lot of the different parts of it. You know, I went through chemo, so there's also the part of hair, and like that's so much tied to like your identity. But a woman's body is also just tied to like your identity. I mean, you've kind of been this body, you know, with curves and with, you know, different things since puberty. And so kind of adjusting to, you know, this life afterwards. You know, I know after my double mastectomy surgery, it was actually the first time I really started really writing like some poetry, was seeing myself with no bandages for the first time. And it was the first time, because, you know, during my surgery, I had, you know, my husband, and then my mom came into town, and then my best friend came into town. So like, there was a revolving door of people like helping me for 2 weeks. But then the dust kind of settled, the drains came out, the people all left. And then afterwards, it was like seeing myself was really, really hard. Like, I broke down hard, you know, and kind of poetry did help me through some really hard times to kind of put into words the feelings that I was feeling. And, you know, I just remember crying. I was crying in the shower, and I couldn't tell if it was tears, if it was, you know, the water. I couldn't, it was just like, it was a mess, you know. And it's really hard. This whole thing of body image, though, I think is, you're spot on with that. And it's just so much tied to like a woman's identity. And so not that you aren't beautiful, and not that all these things, but it's like mourning that loss of what we had, and, you know, accepting it. And I think that that's a very powerful and very moving chapter of my own life. So would love to know, like, from the women that you interviewed, does anything like stick out to you in terms of like this whole, you know, body image?
Body image thing. It was interesting because some people struggled with that and some people did not struggle with that very much at all. One woman that I interviewed, it was when she went to try on swimsuits, that she struggled. And for me, it was immediate when I, like you said, when you saw yourself for the first time. I was ready to look. Actually, I wasn't ready to look right away. So Corey, so wonderful, put huge taped paper over a mirror in our bathroom so I wouldn't see before I was ready. But when I was ready, he took that down and I said, I think I'm gonna throw up. And he's like, no, you don't, you're fine. You're beautiful. You don't need to throw up. And I turned around and he held my hair and I threw up. Like, that was my first experience with that. And so that was like when I realized, okay, I'm gonna struggle with this a little bit. So yeah, I'm trying to think of specific other women's experiences. But yeah, a few of them didn't have issues at all. One of them struggled actually later because she had a single mastectomy, and then they didn't match after several years, you know, and she ended up going in for more surgery to correct that because that didn't feel right. And so many different things that you deal with. But I, as we're talking about this, I wrote this or printed out this quote. When I felt sad about losing my breasts, I had this feeling of, okay, you don't have cancer. You should not be sad. The cancer's gone. They're just boobs. You don't grieve over things like that. And then I read this book. It's a really good book. It's called Wednesdays Were Pretty Normal. And it's by a man named Michael Kelly. And it's, he walks through cancer with his little son, leukemia, if I remember right. But there's one phrase in there or one quote that like just struck me when I read it. And I'll read it here. It says, we often think about the grieving process exclusively in terms of people. You lose someone close to you and you lament that loss in personal and profound ways. But the same process happens, I believe, in other areas of life too. And in the end, grieving is about loss and finding your way through life without the thing that's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gave me permission to grieve. Like, oh, I can grieve this. I mean, nobody died, but this is still a value and it's still worthy of grieving. And then I had to kind of fight the thoughts that would tell me that, oh no, you don't have a right to grieve this. And to bring scripture back into that, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says to capture your thoughts, and bring them to, I'm not going to say it exactly right, that make them obedient to Christ. And so I kind of took that literally, like when those thoughts would come, like capture them. Okay, is that thought true? No, it's not. Okay, replace it with something true. And I found that to be very helpful because we're talking to ourselves in our heads all the time and we don't always pay attention to it. But you can't passively go from wrong thinking about something to right thinking about something. It's active. And so I found that after I really tried to pay more attention to the ugly thoughts in my head and really distinguish, okay, is that true or is that a lie? And then try to replace the lies with truth. It gradually got me to a much better place in my mind with just body image and overall just how I felt about myself. So that was a struggle I had that I overcame that, you know, I think that was maybe one of the keys that made me want to write this book of, okay, I think probably most women are going to struggle with this to an extent. And I want to try to be a resource to help people deal with that and get to the other side. And my book is not a Christian book. My agent chopped it around to Christian publishers first, and we were kind of going to go a different route, and there was going to kind of be a devotional at the end of each chapter and that sort of thing. Didn't work out, ended up with a general market publisher. So it's a little bit different than I originally thought, but I'm excited about that because it's not just Christian women that get breast cancer. And honestly, when you're in a really hard place in your life, sometimes that makes you more open to think about spiritual things. Yeah. So though in this book, I'm not like trying to convince anybody that God is real, though I believe it and know it. I want them to read this and find it helpful. And if in some way that leads them a step closer to, oh, okay, maybe this faith thing is, there's something to that, then that will be fantastic. But, you know, it's not a book aimed at faith, people of faith, I guess. So,
well, I love that. There's so much to unpack in what you just said. I love the whole part about, you know, grieving and it being a loss, giving yourself permission to grieve. And I think as women, we're just, you know, so busy doing our lives, busy being moms, busy being, you know, wives, whatever it is, like we're just always busy. And sometimes it feels, you know, selfish almost to grieve this, but I really do believe giving yourself this permission will allow you much more of a deeper relationship, you know, with all those around you. Like you have to feel your feelings is what I always say, but I think giving yourself permission to grieve is so important. And it is, it's a loss. It's a loss of, you know, your body and how you feel. So I just appreciate you being honest and talking about that. And I love too what you said about faith. And yeah, I started off my whole social media platform. I did not speak openly, you know, about my faith, about, you know, being a Christian. It's just kind of where my path has led to. You know, I listen to a lot, you know, like Brené Brown quotes and being vulnerable. And at some point, if it is who I am, then I'm going to talk about it. And I think it's going to shine through. And just like I felt when I started my breast cancer journey, if I shared my story and one person got a mammogram, I feel like God used me in a way for good. But now kind of with this whole platform on faith, I feel kind of the same. If it makes one person just think about spirituality, if they open up a page of the Bible, if it makes them tune into online church, if they listen to a podcast on, you know, something religious, then maybe I've also done, you know, something to help someone in their faith journey. And I think that that's really important. You know, God uses us to be messengers. And I listened to a great Craig Groeschel. He talks a lot about leadership, but he's also a pastor, and he has this winning the war in your mind, because our minds are like, they're so crazy. And he talks a lot about, you know, replacing this craziness with spiritual truth and doing that. So I love that, like, you just went kind of ahead and did this and replaced so much of it, because our minds can, you know, they're like that Google, when you're, you know, Google, going down that Google rabbit hole, like that is our brain, you know, and we kind of have to rein it in and, you know, do that. But, you know, so whether it's writing it down and getting spiritual truth and, you know, praying on it, all of those are like such more healthy ways, you know, to deal with the craziness, you know, that happens between ear and ear, you know, each and every single day. So thank you for sharing all that. I think it's, you know, so amazing. And that Wednesdays Were Pretty Normal sounds like, you know, a really good book and a lot of wisdom in it as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll have to, you know, link to that in the show notes so, you know, people can check that out. I always ask everybody for a Tina tip. So it can be any kind of advice. It could be someone who's newly diagnosed. It could be someone you're trying to figure out life after cancer. It could be someone that's maybe considering writing a book. But what kind of advice would you like to impart on the listeners today?
Well, actually, when I was thinking about this, it was actually what I just spoke about. So, to not always believe the voices in your head.
Yeah.
My tip would be to pay attention to where your thoughts are and, take your thoughts, determine if it's truth or a lie. And maybe ask someone to be accountable to, or ask someone to say, hey, can you check on me, you know, every week or two and see how my thought life is? Because it's so easy to ignore, and just go through your day and not think about the million things that are going on in your head. So I would say, work on your thought life. 'Cause if your thought life, is in a good place, you're just in a overall a better place. I think emotionally, you'll sleep better. It's just an important part to pay attention to what's going on, in your mind.
I love that you hear of like accountability coaches so much from like the physical standpoint, you know, like, so you're exercising and you have this person who just like kind of motivates you, but I love it from like the mind and the mental and, you know, just the thought prospect of it. You know, we don't talk about that probably enough. And I think that there is something to be said about that and having someone to kind of check in on you regularly. You know, this can go for cancer, can go for any kind of adversity. You know, some people during COVID, this is a really tough time. So I think having that person that you can kind of reach out to and kind of help you to understand if your thoughts are being, you know, positive or are they kind of taking you down that, you know, rabbit hole. I think it's a really powerful message to share. So again, I'd love to share, you know, where can people find Kim if they want to find more Kim, maybe a little bit more info on the book, just, you know, as you have it, or where can people find it when it's ready to go on 10/12.
Yeah. Well, I have a website. It's kimharms.net. And I would like to mention, I forgot about this, but we give out mastectomy pillows. This would be a great time to.
Oh, yes.
For free to anyone who is going through mastectomy or, you know, other breast surgery. My mom, actually, when I was diagnosed, two of my mom's best friends had daughters also diagnosed at the same time. Wow. One of them sadly has passed away. But these three women, and they've added a couple other women, get together every couple months and they make just tons of mastectomy pillows. And we just, you know, keep them. And I have if you go to kimharms.net, there's a request form on there. So all you gotta do is send a request, send me the address, and we'll send you a set of pillows. So I've got that. And on that page, you can also learn more about me, and my book. I'm also on Instagram at Kim Harms Life Reconstructed and on Facebook as well at Kim Harms Life Reconstructed. And then my book is actually available for pre-order on Amazon, and also on the Familius, which is my publisher's website as well. So you can find me on those places too. So
awesome. Well, that is so great about those pillows. I just love that. And I love like the sense of community of them getting together, you know, for such a good, you know, cause and such a purpose and, you know, using their skills and talents to kind of pay it forward into the world. So how beautiful is that?
Yeah. That's really cool. They're a really cool group of ladies. So
kind of like a modern day, like quilting babe with a purpose. Well, Kim, it's been so awesome getting to know you and, you know, share this time with you. And I just truly want to thank you for sharing your story, for, you know, all the faith and the love that you bring into this world, and, you know, for all the experiences that you shared with me today. I just, from the bottom of my heart, just truly want to thank you. I got choked up a couple times, I'm not going to lie. You know, it's hard stuff. It really is. And I think that you're doing a great thing to try to help, you know, people in this world. And, you know, I just applaud you for that and using all your skills for something good. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate just the opportunity to be on here and just what you're doing as well. Just to listen to some of your podcasts over the last couple of weeks. And it's really good to listen to, and especially this faith series, to feel like, oh, there are a lot of women out there similar to me. And it's awesome. I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to meet you and be a part of this podcast, because it's super cool.
Well, thank you. And yes, we're probably recording this a few weeks earlier than it'll come out, but, you know, we're a day before Good Friday, and, you know, Easter Sunday is right here. And so, you know, for Christians, it's a big deal, and it's a big week. And, you know, I'm filled with hope, you know, looking back at like writings and journals from a year ago, and, you know, just with everything COVID, it just feels like we've come so far in a year. And, you know, I think I can relate to that from like my cancer diagnosis. A year can really change, you know, your feelings, and again, going to that mind thing and where we're at. But, you know, it's just a really, great time, I think, to be out there, and a great time to be a Christian too. So I truly want to share that with people. And if anyone listening to this wants to learn more about faith, or, you know, how to kind of get started, I think, you know, all of my guests, myself, are happy to, you know, kind of point you in some great directions. But thank you, Kim. It's been amazing. And you have a great Easter.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.